Penn, will you step up to the table, as we say? Just for a record, we're still going to be in a public hearing on this bill until such time as we get the additional five folks. What if we entertained an attempt to bring licensees and permittees under the OLCC into this situation? What would be your response, just so we have it on the record?
Well, Mr. Chair, Dale Penn from District Attorney Association. As I've listened to this discussion, first of all, I wasn't aware of this until this afternoon as we walked in, and although it appeals immediately as a parity issue, I have some concerns about it now that I know a little bit more about it. All we're really talking about is really a window of some month's time. If there is a notice from OLCC that's provided, that puts someone on notice. As soon as the criminal case is resolved, then those reports are a public record, and they can be obtained simply by a letter or a request. That's mandatory release at that point. I am concerned about the fact that some police investigations do not establish who the third-party potential lawsuits might be filed against. And I don't know when I'm supposed to do this and when I'm not, without having precise language in front of me to look at. But because there is notice from OLCC, if they're aware of it, I guess in a police report, put them on notice. It does become a public record as soon as the criminal case is completed. It seems to me that the people who can be harmed are the potential plaintiffs because of this lack of head start, I mean, primarily. But any information that came out in the criminal case that's available to the defense, they are on notice. This is a case we need to watch. They can go ahead and be examining what they can from that OLCC notice. I am concerned about broadening the bill just because of the abuses, and I'm not saying that's widespread, but just the abuses, as I recounted in the rape case. We've had that in traffic cases also, but we're willing to try to work with this and see how it works for 2 years. I'm just concerned about broadening it further because of those problems that we have had.
Mr. Chairman,
Representative Bell.
If this information is released to the victim, is the victim able then to release it to the alcohol beverage server? I mean, if the victim wanted to help this case along, you know, to show cause for...
Well, after the lawsuit's been filed, there's some discovery procedures that will probably require that information be revealed. Whatever they have in relation to the case, generally they have to show the other party, unless it's through their own expert or something like that, some work product privilege. That's the way general civil law works. And at that point they could go up to the courthouse if the criminal trial is over and get it themselves. In the meantime, all they have is this notice, which identifies, I guess, who was hurt or who wasn't drinking or whatever, and incident occurred and that you were mentioned as being a server in the chain of events.
It's hard for me to understand why they wouldn't know until they got notice, because surely someone would come, if they were named, somebody would come and question them. Someone would come and say, was this guy really here? Somebody, you know, wouldn't there be some follow through on the original case that they'd go back to that establishment?
There may or may not be, depending on if there's any criminal liability potential for the server or the permittee.
I mean, just in gathering the evidence for the original case.
Depends on the police department. Some are good, some are medium, and some don't do a very good job. Okay. Some officers, and that depends. But you're right, it could go all the way back to the nice to have you back.
Negotiating a case.
Oh, well, good. Just remember to give judiciary their full cut.
As a citizen legislature.
You know, we're used to taking percentages around here, so we'd appreciate any help you can give the rest of us that didn't get to negotiate. Representative Mannix, we're on a, going to be a work session on Senate Bill 372.
You're all very nice on TV.
Thank you, thank you. We have a motion from, Representative Clark to move the Dash 2 amendments dated 5-22-91, council amendments number 2. I don't...
You need a motion, Mr. Chair, or did you make the motion?
Yeah, I think you did, Representative Clark did.
Yeah, I just did, right?
He just made the motion. No objection, so they're so adopted. Then we have the issue of whether, we had a situation here where the folks from the Oregon Restaurant Association came in and asked if they could, have an amendment to bring in the same opportunity for licensees and permittees under the OLCC system to also have access if they're, named as a server or whatever in the police reports, to have access to the police reports, the same way that the victims are given access. Representative Clark raised the issue in public hearing situation. I need to know, we have 5 votes here on this committee, and all 5 of us have to agree to deal with that issue, or else we can't move on the issue, but we can move on the bill. Now, where are you at, Representative Bell, if you'd mind telling me, on whether you want to include OL?
Well, I just have not yet seen the need. If I were a restaurant owner and I got this notice, but I didn't think that I was going to be part of the suit, I don't think I'd want to hire a lawyer to go get the information and prepare a case just in case I got a suit against me. And I don't know that I would go to all that effort to prepare a case when there'd been no case filed against me. On the other hand, by that time, again, I think that maybe that evidence would be available.
We need to have, to move on that amendment, we need to have 3 votes to deal with it conceptually. If we wanted to bring them in, we'd have to bring the bill back with staff to, if we wanted to adopt the amendment, to include them in.
How many of you like the idea?
Well, okay, where are you, Representative Johnson?
I think it's a reasonable thing for the restaurant people to get notice.
Well, they get notice under the existing statute from OLCC. Now, we're talking about whether they should be able to get a copy of the full police report from the DA's office if they're a name in the police report, if they're named as a server.
Seems like it would. You could require the victim, instead of bothering a DA, require the victim, if the victim wants to bring a suit against the liquor establishment, require the victim to send copies of those papers after the victim gets them from the DA within, 30 days or whatever, or else loses his or her right to bring an action against the liquor establishment. Keep
That's
the DA, out, keep the DA out of it.
Oh, that's an interesting proposal. There's a little kind of a mini statute of limitation, a trap for the unwary. Be left very busy.
The reason why I am nervous about this proposed amendment is that it raises issues that, one, are not clear to me in terms of how I might want to move, and two, are not subject to real public notice because it's not like people out there knew that we might be considering that issue in the context of this bill, and three, it's sort of a novel twist of things. Now, yesterday, certainly, we had a bill in family justice where there was a new issue brought into a bill, but it was something I thought was clean, and I understood it, and I had a definite opinion on it. I don't think this is clean, I don't understand it, and I don't have a definite opinion, and since we haven't had a chance to have witnesses testify from all perspectives, that makes me nervous. I happen to like the notion, and I'd like to see that accomplished at some point, but I get nervous when, we are passing on a Senate bill where the Senate will probably just concur with any amendments we make, and I'd want to make sure it was clean, because it could, there's some trip levers in the system that could be a problem here when we're talking litigation. And I happen to feel very strongly that the restaurant and tavern people ought to have access and ought to have prompt access, but I want to make sure we address that carefully.
Representative Clark.
I think where I come down on this, my initial reaction was that I wanted to support the proposed amendment. After listening to Mr. Penn, though, I think I'm convinced that the bill has been put together in the spirit of almost of a pilot project. Seems to me that in that regard, it's a little bit of an experiment. I didn't understand at first the concern of the District Attorneys Association on not just the proposed Restaurant Association Amendment, but the why we couldn't have this subject to all crimes. I think I do understand that now, and I don't think anybody on this committee wants to hinder the criminal case. And so I guess reluctantly my suggestion or my sense is that we ought to look at that issue in 2 years and maybe, I don't know if you want to put a sunset on the entire bill for 2 years. I suspect that we'll be looking at it again in 2 years anyway, but I think that's my sense.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Maddox.
Over time, I'm real open to opening up this concept with appropriate controls. And so I like this as a starting point, and I do get a little concerned about unnecessary baggage at this point. And that's
okay, I can sense that the Representative Bell.
I just had a question. As soon as they became a defendant, I mean, if there ever was a suit, then they'd have immediate access to all of the materials, wouldn't they? And then there'd be a time frame with which they could prepare their case. And the only advantage to here is just giving them a little more lead time, which in most cases you don't have. Most people who have suits filed against them don't have that lead time anyway.
I haven't heard of them until they saw them right here. Mike, this is my concern, is I don't have a problem doing this for them. I'd like to see some kind of confidentiality made up, because the first thing you do is you have somebody putting something in the paper on a copy of a police report before formal charges have been filed. So if we had, I'd let them have it, the licensee permits could have it. If there was some confidentiality requirement, it'd be used for litigation purposes only, and you know, some restrictions on it. So I'm willing to consider it with those conditions, but I can kind of get the sense of the committee that, generally speaking, they need to move on with this.
Well, here's an idea.
Mr. Chair, I would move a 5-minute recess.
Okay. Why don't we go on recess for 5 minutes and we'll discuss this issue. 7-2, we'd like to welcome back witnesses and members of the committee. It's always nice to have you all here and keep the magic number at 5. What's the sentence of the committee here? Do we want to bring the ORA folks into the process here?
Mr. Chair,
we got some consensus.
Mr. Chair,
Representative Clark?
An attempt at a conceptual amendment. And it would be a variation on Representative Johnson's idea. And we may need some help from the restaurant folks and from Mr. Penn on how this would work. But the idea would be that as a condition of release of the records to the crime victim, that two conditions be placed on the release. One is confidentiality, however that would be phrased. And two would be that the records be made available to the establishment guess through some sort of a notice and request process on behalf of the establishment. I'm just thinking out loud here. I don't think you would just want to let them be notified that they've been named, or that their name came up in a criminal case, because I think they get that through the OLCC anyway. So I guess you would have to put an affirmative obligation on the victim to notify the establishment.
If the victim intends to
Get the
bring
records.
Legal action, I think you could.
The victim intends to sue him.
I'd be open to saying that the victim, as a second condition, has to agree to immediately provide the records to the establishment. Of course, discovery happens pretty quickly after a legal action is brought anyway. I was trying to think of some way of having a bright line to draw. We could say if the establishment is named in the records, that the establishment be provided a set of the, be given notice that it's named and be provided with the same discovery courtesy of the victim. That is, the victim would have to make copies and provide them to the establishment.
Mr. Chairman, I'm getting a little disturbed about the trend of this thought. If I am the victim or my child is hit by a car, I don't think I'm responsible to be issuing reports to anybody.
I saw this coming.
Unless I, you know, if I intend to sue them and I file a complaint, then maybe I have some intent. But just, I'm going to have enough due to put my life back together without worrying about reports that have to be put in to other people rather, other than the police department.
Sure.
Representative Johnson.
Ms. Representative Bell, if you wanted those reports, though, for your own information, and the DA said, fine, you can have them, but only if you promise to send them to the establishment, wouldn't you say, oh, fine, I can do that?
That's ridiculous. If they're willing to let it go to the establishment, they can send it.
How about this, Mr. Chairman?
I don't think that should have to be a requirement of my getting the report.
Well, then we just don't have to let you have the reports.
That's blackmail.
Okay,
that's fine. Call
right
whatever
on,
you want.
Right, hold on.
Something in the middle here?
Yeah.
Just require that within 10 days after filing any complaint against an establishment that the victim who has received these reports must automatically turn over all those documents to the establishment. That's when you've decided to sue someone. You're going to have to do discovery anyway. But instead of requiring the establishment to go all the way through discovery requests and all that, you just hand it over and say, okay, I'm suing you. Here you are. All right.
What?
I'll do you one more. Within 10 days after filing suit against the establishment, you must notify the establishment that you received records from the district attorney, and the district attorney is then able to release those records to the establishment. Then your victim doesn't have to make photocopies.
Why can't we put it back in the police department and say, with the permission of the victim, they can release the records? I mean, if it's the victim you're concerned about, whether or not the records get released, and it's the establishment that wants them, why can't they get permission from the victim and then just have the department release them and take that
area of
burden off the victim?
We're going to make an attempt to deal with this thing in the next 5 minutes. Then we're going
to. I thought the intent of the bill was to help the victim.
Well, but you are helping the victim, and then the victim brings legal action against someone else who may become a victim of civil action, and they're trying to defend themselves.
Well,
I believe as soon as they are part of a lawsuit, they would have their access anyway. See why we're going through all this exercise.
Back to square one.
Back to square one, Representative Bell, anyway. And there has to be three of us on the subcommittee to amend the bill. We have to have five to move the bill as amended. So we have to have three positive votes to do anything in this regard.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Mannix.
From this conversation, I think it's pretty clear that we are delving into some new territory. And I think, again, maybe we ought to back off on it. We can't come up with something that's pretty much consensus. I don't want to have problems with the bill.
Chair, I'll withdraw whatever beginnings of a conceptual amendment I'd begun to float.
Okay. So basically, we seem to be driving towards at least a 4-1 feeling about amending them in, and now we're back to a let's back off type mode.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Bell.
Just to explain my reaction here.
Well, it's perfectly understandable. You don't have to explain anything.
It wasn't so much that I'm opposed to them having the information, but I certainly don't want any more burden put upon the victim to have to be required to do anything.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Is there a motion?
Yeah, I move the bill as already amended with the prior amendment to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Discussion of that, Representative Johnson, Representative Clark, we are all comfortable moving in this direction. We seem to. That bill's going to the full committee without any further amendments, unless you have any further discussion on the bill. Clerk will please. Representative Mannix has moved Senate Bill 372 as amended with a dash to council amendments to the full committee with the due pass recommendations. Any discussion? Hearing none, the clerk will please call the roll.
Aye.
Aye.
Mannix? Aye.
Miller?
Bell? Aye.
And Chair Baum?
Chair votes yes. Senate Bill 372, having received the appropriate majority vote, is forwarded to the full committee as amended. Representative Bell, do you want to carry this one? Representative Bell, do you want to carry it? Want to carry this one, Representative Bell?
Yes, I'd be glad to.
Okay, we're going to go ahead and close the work session on Senate Bill 372. Oh, yes. Which one is it?
Open up a public hearing. Let's on 426.
Open up a public hearing on Senate Bill 426 to get President Jerry Hudson from Lambert University and whoever else he'd like to bring with him up here to visit with us. It's not often we get, we see folks from your profession in the education committees and in the ways and means sometimes in the public sector asking for money. You don't come very often asking for money. You don't come very often to judiciary either, so that must be good news for you that you're not in judiciary.
Probably so.
Yeah, but we're glad to have you. I'd like to welcome you and Mr. Byers and Andy Morrow, too. So go ahead, and whoever wants to lead off can.
I thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Carl Myers. I'm appearing on behalf of the Oregon State Bar Association. With me is Mr. Andy Morrow, a Portland attorney appearing on behalf of the business law section of the bar, and they were the initial sponsors of this bill. As the committee may recall, Senate Bill 426 was before the committee several weeks ago. At that time, there were the committee had some problems with one of the sections of the bill that dealt with nonprofit corporations making loans to officers or directors as part of a recruitment package. At that point, the committee's questions, I guess, became some reservations, and based on that, that section of the bill was removed. Since the business law section felt that this was a fairly important part of the whole bill, enabling nonprofit corporations to do some things for their betterment, we attempted and were successful at getting someone here to explain why nonprofit corporations need that part of the bill. So I guess we're here to ask the committee to reconsider and possibly reinstate the section that had been omitted in the previous committee meeting. With that, I would like to introduce Dr. Jerry Hudson, the president of Willamette University, who is here to speak on behalf of Willamette University and I believe Lewis and Clark University and Reed College, three fine institutions in this state, all of whom I think have experienced some of the problems that might be corrected by a reinstatement of that portion that had been omitted. And with that, I would introduce Dr. Hudson.
Thank you, Chair, members of the committee. I'm Jerry Hudson, president of Willamette. I'm delighted to have a chance to make this point and try to answer any questions regarding it. It is not a monumental importance to the university, but it is of significance to us because we, like my colleagues at Lewis and Clark and at Reed, engage in recruitment of faculty and senior staff, senior administrators from a national pool. We found that there are many occasions in which the ability to attract the very best to our institutions might indeed be connected in some measure with the ability to recruit with as good a package as possible. I might give you one example from my own case. When I was, before coming to Willamette, I was president of Hamline University in St. Paul, Minnesota. I was provided a home on campus. Several of our institutions in Oregon do not provide president's residences, and frankly, had I been recruited to one of those, I would not have been in a position to have considered that unless at the same time they were in a position to have made a short-term loan to assist with a down payment on equity situation. And that's not uncommon in the recruitment of outstanding faculty members, which has continued to be the case in some of the finest institutions across the country in the recruitment of senior faculty. It's equally true in the recruitment of outstanding administrators. So we believe that as long as there are adequate safeguards, and certainly in looking at this bill, there are two or three provisions that provide very adequate safeguards in terms of notifying the Attorney General's office, limiting it to the recruitment time only. We're not talking about it being done during the time of tenure other than at the time the person is recruited to the institution, and then a short-term nature attached to it. So for those with those limitations on it, we believe it would be of great assistance in attracting even better people to our Oregon institutions.
Mr. Mannix.
First, I'd like to thank you for coming, because one of the main reasons why we stripped it out last time was because we had no real-life person who came to us to tell us there was a real-life problem. And I guess you're recognizing that, and I appreciate that. My question is, do we need this for directors as well as officers? Because it says director or officer.
I am not aware of any situation as it